It is basically 1:55 in the afternoon on January 18th, Friday, and we are beginning the environmental health budget workshop. Margaret James and Stephanie Jones are with us. Margaret, would you like to start telling us some little highlights of your budget this year?
Okay, highlights. Pretty much the same as last year, except a big ticket item for soil program. We can talk about that later, but pretty much status quo. I did add a revision just within the hour to Lisa. We heard that one of our pumper contractors is selling and it'll be moving out of town, and so that decreases our revenue. And with that, I'm ready to start.
All right. Okay. I have a follow-up question on the pumper contractor, and there's nobody else to take the place thereof. Is that why we would see reduced?
Well, what it is he's selling to his nephew. He's quite ill, and so he's selling to his nephew, and his nephew is in Hardin County. So we will probably still have services from him, but the contract goes with wherever the office is located,
sure.
So we will lose that.
Okay, thank
you. It's a lucrative contract for the non-work actually, but it's disappointed that.
How much are we going up?
$2,238 subtracted from the other state grant. So the $6,120 in there.
Yep.
Is actually $3,882.
Okay.
What she has reestimated, or we're done that too.
Okay. And the reestimate is down to the $3,882 also, or?
We want that at $5,950.
Wait, what did I do there?
Is that what it is? Is that what you want to leave it at?
Well, he might still, so for the re-estimate, we might still get that from this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know about that one. That's maybe not.
Well,
so for sure next year, it'll be down.
So does anybody have any problems with leaving the $5,950 re-estimate given that this contractor or the exchange of contractors from Shelby?
I would suggest we leave it until we know more. I would suggest we go down to the $3,800 or whatever it is for next year.
Okay. Everybody good with that? Okay. Okay. Anything more on the revenue worksheet? I didn't see anything that caught my eye. So let's go ahead now to the expenditure. We head down to vehicle fuel maintenance.
Anything you guys want to talk about? Margaret always does such a phenomenal job, and maybe I should say Margaret and Stephanie do a phenomenal job putting all this together. I want you to take us through the office equipment and furniture. Clearly, we've got stuff in there.
Okay.
And
so that's the very final item.
Yep.
Right.
Multiple things in there. It was like some soil stuff and an enclosed trailer with that owner's pantry. Just
yeah.
I want to understand all that.
Yeah. Okay. So I did the soil probing for designing the septic system. Okay. And currently what I do is I go out with a probe, a metal probe, and probe 60 inches into the ground. And it's just getting very difficult for me. Typically just getting too many. So there's two options. We can go, the Gator Pro trailer route. We can continue to do it the way I do it and hope for the best, you know. If it's a rain season, it's not hard. If it's a dry season, it's near impossible for men, women, young men, young women. It's hard. And then the other option would be, like several counties, is to have a soil professional or a civil engineer do that. If we did do that route, we would take down the revenue a little bit, well, several thousand, because I wouldn't feel comfortable leaving it at that level if I'm not doing that actual work.
But
So that would be the impact from that.
And so what is the revenue? Tell me, take me through the revenue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Last year, what did I say they were going to be? So 7,500 a year about, because I charge 100 for that service.
My feeling is that we, to be an inclusive employer, and if we leave it in-house, we should be buying this aid so that we, our employees can do the work without having to strain themselves, right? If there's, you know, somebody who's got, say, you know, lack of strength in their upper arms or whatever, it should not either eliminate them from employment or going out and training themselves. So it sounds like find this pumper, is that what it's called again? Prober, okay. It sounds like that's the way to go to be a good employee.
So I completely agree with that, even if we're going to keep it in-house. My question is, why would we spend $27,000 to make $7,500?
But this will last more than 3 years.
Well, but it better last more than 4 years,
right,
or we're not seeing any return. And the other thing that we don't calculate in there is your time, even with this new equipment.
True.
We're not calculating your time in there,
yeah,
and it's not like you're under busy. It's not like we're looking for things for you to do, and it seems to me if it's as simple as giving up $7,500 in revenue and not having to spend $27,000, and we're allowing you to do more of the things that you already do without going and digging in the dirt, that might be the wisest course of action for us.
And I'm on the fence on this, to be perfectly honest, because, you know, this is not my cup of tea riding around these little, I mean, it's fun, but I also drive in and, you know, troubleshooting on this kind of stuff. I'm not a mechanic at all. So I'm a little scared going this route, but I'm also a little hesitant to let go of a program that I've had such control over.
Sure.
And they're great people, but they are not soil people. And so you don't really quite get the job if you're not doing it.
Can you explain that a little bit? What is the contract? Who is it that would do it?
Well, the two engineers right now that do it.
Okay.
And
what
when there's subdivisions that are greater than two lots, then it's required that that an engineer goes out and does it. And then I just do a follow-up and just make sure that I agree with them. And 20% of the time, I don't agree with them, but I think if they did more, they would start getting better. So at first, my job would still be, you know, still can require time going out and double checking, but after a while, you learn who you can trust with doing it. So it's just hard to let go of it.
You say it's hard to know who you can trust. So what ends up being the biggest risk for a job that's not done correctly or thoroughly? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably lack of treatment, because you have to identify where there's still oxygen in the soil, and that's when you get treatment. If it's a wet soil, and yes, it's going to be wet sometimes a year, but you can't put it where the soil is saturated. Because then you don't get treatment. You need the aerobic conditions.
What is it we're actually trying to do here?
Design a septic system.
Okay, so this is like the old FERC test.
Replace
the FERC test. Okay, gotcha.
Yes,
yeah.
Replace that because those numbers are all in there. Yeah.
So if we held off purchase for 1 year,
and I'd be fine with that,
and you tried it with contract labor to see what would happen.
And it's not contract. The homeowner hires the guy to do it, and then they send me that information, and I go out to the field and check it and issue a permit based on that information. So, I would just be checking a lot more. But I've got that safety net because if I can't vote, then they're stuck with that problem. I'm not. When it's so dry.
Which could hold up, but at least it's not our responsibility.
Right.
Does that sound like a workable solution or an option?
It does.
How much do we charge when you do this?
$100.
If we bought the student equipment, would we charge more?
That's a good question.
And what charge to the homeowner?
I know.
Right.
Yes.
In the county, or they'll pay the engineers. What do engineers use to charge?
A lot more, $300 to $400. But we're not supposed to compete with the private sector. Also, so it's just, what do you do?
Well, the bottom line is we want to make sure our septic systems are designed properly.
Right.
we're not doing it to give the homeowner a break necessarily.
We are allowed to cover costs.
And the new equipment could be part of that cost and how deciding how long it takes to recoup that investment.
Uh-huh.
So we wouldn't have to necessarily, in 4 years, we could increase what we charge because we have new equipment that we needed to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's cost of doing business.
So I'd like to see us reduce the revenues by $7,500, so take us to $14,380 on that revenue line item, and I'd like to see us hold off purchasing $27,660 in equipment and see how it goes for a year. Having the homeowner responsible for hiring a licensed engineer to do this study.
Okay, I will have to have the Board of Health vote on that.
That's what you do. So the Board of Health doesn't have to vote on the budget. What I'm suggesting is what's in the budget.
Right, but in order to have the homeowner be responsible for hiring a soils person, that is something that the Board of Health would have to vote on, I believe.
Sure.
Because we're basically just giving it out. This is what your budget is.
That's right.
So then you would have to find it somewhere else if we take out the 70 or the 14,000.
Well, she doesn't have to go find any more revenue. So what I'm suggesting we do is we say no, we're not going to budget the $27,000 to buy the gator and the probe and all and the trailer and all that stuff. But we're also recognized that we can't continue to expect that you're going to bring in the revenue without the equipment, so we also take the revenue out. And then we say to you and the Board of Health, okay, you guys go back without budgeted new equipment, but also without the expectation that you're going to bring in this revenue, and I'll figure out what the best way forward is.
Okay. And what I anticipate doing then is going to the Board of Health and talking to them about requiring all homeowners, regardless of subdivision or not, have a professional come in and do the site review. And then we would take that $100 off my fee, but then the permit fee I would bump up $50 because I'm still going to be out there a good little bit.
Now, are your fees set by the Board of Health or by us? Or
Board of Health.
Okay, there you go.
You still have a role.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Whole county does it that way, Warren and Dallas. There's quite a few, yeah. Very few do it themselves.
And is this going to take you less time? So we're going to bump up, or you're going to propose to Board of Health to bump up $50. You're still going to have a role to play in this, but it's not going to take quite as much of your time?
Right.
Okay.
All right. That sounds workable.
Okay. There's two things I want to talk about, and it's budget time. Okay, the first one is this. I've had an employee suggest that there's too much of a gap between my salary and the environmental specialist salary, and it is a big gap. So is that normal to have that much of a gap?
in between the special director.
Yes.
But I mean, I look into it. But
that would be great.
I mean, I don't think there's no set percentage out there, but I think when we're looking based on what other our comps do, I don't think the gap in between our specialists and the director is out of norm.
Okay.
But
after today, I'd say probably not.
You earn your money, Margaret.
I mean, there are very, very specific things that fall on that. It's not just the work, even though they may view that a director does the same type of work, there are additional responsibilities, and I don't believe that gap is.
Okay. But if you could maybe
it's as easy as looking out there and seeing what our comps are. Now, are there some differences between us and other counties? Yes, because other counties do public health. So it's a little more difficult to do that. But if I look between county-wide as far as the gap between those and other, it's not any different between yours and, you look at other departments. The difference between the director and that, some of them might have a different level of responsibility. So, not each department is the same, but if I take a look at planning development, there's
So Melissa, help me with this. Is it about difference from the director to the next person, or is it about where it scores out in terms of our direct classifications?
Well, there's two different things. We put the regular positions on a step scale,
okay,
and the management positions have ranges. So it's a little more difficult. I mean, there's a spread between min and max.
Mm-hmm.
On our pay matrix for our subscale is different between min and max on our open range plan for management or compensation schedule. Those positions are they have very specific steps, and that's how the board has wanted to do in the past boards when we implemented the new compensation strategy. There's no guaranteed steps for management. It's all based on merit. So we have an open range plan. So,
okay. I like everything to be fair.
Yeah.
And if I'm way above the staff, that's nothing.
I think when you go to look at other public sector entities, it's not any different there. They may have different levels. They may have different specialist levels. They may have a 1 and a 2 and a 3,
mm-hmm.
depending on where you look. Same with other entities, but I'll just go out there and kind of do a comparison with other counties. If I can get, like I said, it's somewhat difficult because a lot of those counties just have public health.
Mm-hmm. If you left public health and environmental health out, just do a planning or something, something that's kind of apples and apples across on the board. Because our field is really good.
Between your salary and the specialist compared to like
planning and then assessors or
I would say planning off the top of my head is pretty close.
I think so.
The planners have the same pay scale as your environmental health specialist.
Right.
And I would say the difference between the directors and the staff within them are pretty similar. We just did a compensation study, so as far as management, I think the comparison between different department directors and everything, when we just did the most recent, it's only been like a year and a half.
Okay.
So that's...
Well, if you could just look at maybe a few of your departments and just...
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, and this is kind of a CIP thing, and it's not my bailiwick, but I'm just curious. So I was looking at Hickory Grove Lake, and I was wondering if there's a CIP, if I'm using those right, for the replacement of the lagoon.
Yes.
There is?
Can I go? Yeah, so CIP And what we would do is we would tie into Colo's Lagoon. So I think it's a $450,000 item to tie everything from Hickory Grove Lake to the Colo Lagoon and not have our own.
Right. And I know that that's been in the work. Marty and Mike were working on that. So did Colo finally say yes
no.
to that? No.
They haven't said no either. They just haven't said.
Okay.
And so we're pushing to get to the end of that. And frankly, everything we're doing out at Hickory Grove is just, I mean, clearly we're spending a lot of money on the basin right now, but there's also in the CIP is, I think it's in excess of $4 million all in that we're talking about ultimately spending. But in order to do any of that, we've got to first address the wastewater issue. We can't do anything out there, and maybe that's the point you're getting to. That lagoon is done. It's been done for a few years. We're limping along. We have to do something. And to this point, what's been discussed is a new lagoon is a bad option. Colo is the best option. We just got to get to the end of that conversation.
I agree. Yeah. And my point was that, you know, here we are pointing fingers at CAFOs and this and that, and we've got a nasty lagoon.
Bad.
You know, we've got to do something, and we've got to do it yesterday. So, and that's my job to make sure the county follows the rules like everybody else.
Yep.
So I had on my notes, that about going, I would contact Colo again, and I guess go to the city council meeting in February. Is Mike having conversations with him again, or is that just gone totally dead?
No, I believe that Mike has continued conversations with them, and it is, and I'm putting, so it was Marty and Mike that were working on this,
right.
So I've got everything secondhand. But it was a fit of starts and stops, and it would be, okay, we're deciding this month at the council meeting. No, we're going to deal with it next month. Okay, we're going to decide this month. No, we're going to deal with it next month. And we just have to tell them that it is time, or I believe we have to tell them, it's time to make a decision, and either you want to be a partner with us in this, or you don't. And if you don't, I don't think we got great options, but we got to start exploring
right.
other options.
Yeah,
so
we do.
It's about a $300,000 difference, if I remember, if we have to go in with and do something with our lagoon or versus $450. You think it's more?
I think the lagoon out there, the last thing I saw was more like $1 million in the lagoon.
That'd be nice.
Okay. And so I don't know where else
you're
to go.
The option. Yeah. Probably like an advanced tech or some large package plant like they're doing at South Squaw Valley. But
right.
Just
so
them
what do we have to deal with? I mean, what's the volume? Or what, how many?
I don't know that off the top of
my head. Is it just the restrooms?
Yeah. Well, the restrooms and the bathhouse. And I
dump station.
The dump station, and then possibly the house, you know, so it's a big
expansion. Yeah, there's an expansion.
A lot more. It's a lot.
So we're counting more, we're counting on you to close the deal.
No problem. I'm doing so well all day.
Wind trends and inflows feet.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do go door-to-door. They had a program, and they were trying to get everybody to quit putting their sump water into their stormwater stock into the sanitary store. And hopefully that will free up some room for store accounts, but we can all make it.
Yeah, so the reality is, based on the numbers I've seen, they got capacity. They're just scared that they may not have capacity at the end, and they don't know for sure because of the sump pumps. And so I'm hoping it's as simple as getting them to say yes. I think they want to say yes. I think we just got to get to yes. And I think there's no question that that's our best, quickest option to get things solved out there. And if we can't have that, then we just got to figure out what the next one looks like, because I don't know if anybody's even started to design what we might have to look at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the advantage units are individual.
No, there's
the first one, they can do four houses.
Yeah, but we've actually, Mike and a rep from Advantex and myself met at one point a while ago and talked about it, and it's doable. They just put the pods together, and it's volume-based, and that is just not a whole lot different than that. It's not, you know, it's not like a rep pod or anything like that going into it. So, it's doable. It's not going to be a resume, no.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
employees have a question. All right. This is about some of, I'm thinking, the discussion in Grant 5 about when we had one of those discussion of trustees, and you were talking about all of the unpermitted old septics in that area. So as we look at lease, we're doing the classification of Grant 5 right now, and as work goes ahead, if we go out and have to issue a permit for every one of those septics, we expect, is it your estimation, we expect that we're going to find failing septics?
Okay, so the summary of a failing septic would be a complaint for an open discharge. So as they clean up those ditches and waterways and tiles, they will discover that there are some connections from septic systems right to the tile. And then, yes, they will have to discharge those. Yeah, there will be some that we won't see, you know, and we won't be able to report that with our policy right now.
Now where I'm headed next for the future here is just that when we discover the failing septic in Hickory Grove, near Hickory Grove, we helped financially with that. So I'm wondering about the help in a year or so. This is actually down the road, not 2020, I expect, right? About what kind of help we might be able to provide some of those property owners.
Even Verona. $1,000 of system would be great. We also have the some state money with that. Right now, all that's available is a low interest loan. Maybe borrowing them. But if you're low income, you probably would not qualify for that low interest loan.
And let's just be clear on where we were with Hickory Grove versus where we are now.
Right.
At that point, as I recall, we didn't have a good mechanism to enforce them having to get a new system, and so it was in our best interest to go with the carrot rather than the stick. Now we have the stick in, or at least part of the stick in place, and so you don't, then as I see it, don't need to rely on the carrot nearly as much. So a different situation with Hickory Grove.
Right.
We felt like we needed to get that cleaned up, and we didn't have a way to do it short of voluntary compliance, and in order to get voluntary compliance, we bought it. It's that summary, right? So let's just be careful with comparing what I think is an apple to an orange.
That's helpful for me because when we go in to do Grant 5 is when we will discover and we have compliance mechanisms in place. I think that's what you're talking about. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'm good.
Good.
Everybody good?
Good job.
Thank you.